Today's scripture is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road.
It's nice to see you all this morning. I was struck by the closing remarks of attorney Steve Schlechter at the Derek Chauvin trial. He was one of two attorneys hired by, I can't remember now who hired them, maybe the Attorney General of Minnesota. At any rate, they gave their services. They did it free, bono, pro bono, all that work. And I was impressed with both of those men, but I was really impressed when Steve Schlechter gave his closing remarks at the trial. And he said this, "Use your common sense. Believe your eyes. What you saw, you saw." Pretty profound. Our nation really needs to hear that these days. In other words, he was calling the jury to sight. 12, 18, I don't know how many people were in the jury box, but he was calling them to be sighted. He could have as easily said, "Don't be blind," but this was more profound. Believe your eyes. Believe what you saw. We rely on sight at every moment of our lives. You've probably all heard the question before, which would you rather lose, your hearing or your sight? And I really can't imagine losing either, but if you lost your sight, you wouldn't be able to see a beautiful sunset. You wouldn't be able to report to a police officer what happened in the wreck in front of you. You wouldn't be able to look in the eyes of somebody that you love a great deal or read a gripping book that captured your imagination if you didn't have vision. A man named Bartimaeus lacked that ability. Apparently, at one time he could see. So we're left to wonder what it was that happened to Bartimaeus that caused him to lose his eyesight. Was it an illness? Was it some genetic abnormality that caused this to happen? Because when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus says, "Let me see again. Let me see again." He knew what he'd lost. He had experienced the world to whatever age that was that he lost his sight. He knew what the world looked like. There's a home program that I like to watch occasionally called Home Again. Is that right? Home Again? No. Hometown. Hometown. And it's filmed in Mississippi. And one of the homes that they they remodeled was for this single man who I think was a pastor, and he was colorblind. So when Aaron, one of the hosts of the show, was telling him what she was going to do with his house and talking about the colors and all that, it was really, at, in many respects, irrelevant to him because he couldn't see those things that she was talking about. And at the end of the show, when she and Ben are showing this man through his new house, at the conclusion of that, they presented him with a pair of glasses that corrected for color blindness. And he put them on, and it was like, oh, wow. So that's what blue looks like. That's what happens when you get sight. I can't imagine anyone ever saying, Bartimaeus included, sight's not all that much. It's cracked, not as much as it's cracked up to be. I'm perfectly happy to sit here by the side of the road blind. No one ever says that. People always, you've seen pictures of people who the doctor removes the bandages from their eyes and they can see for the first time and they cry and they try to emote and express all the things that they are feeling. And it's hard to believe that anyone would say to us, you can't really trust your eyes. What you see is not what you see. I think this is, that's called gaslighting, by the way. It's what an abuser in a marriage tells his spouse after he beats her up time after time. He always gaslights. He always says, you can't trust what you see or what you experienced. It's really this. Well, I'm saying that because I think this is such a relevant subject for our world at this time, this whole thing of blindness, of not being able to see or not being able to trust what we see. Jericho was located 10 miles northwest of the Dead Sea. So the Jordan River and the Dead Sea are running down this side of the country, the east side of the country of Israel. And Jericho is northwest, about 15 miles from Jerusalem, which is over here. So Jerusalem, the Dead Sea, Jericho. Interestingly, it's the home of both Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus, two men who figure in very significantly in terms of stories we're told about the ministry of Jesus and the people that he hung around with. And both of them ostracized from their society. Bartimaeus was hauled out to the place where all the beggars go, because that's all they could do. That's what the society considered them to be, was worthless. And Zacchaeus up the tree, who people hate because he collects taxes for the Roman government. And any self-respecting Jew hated Rome. Mark says that this is, let's see, beginning in verse, I will take too long to get this, but anyway, it says that this crowd, this large crowd, follows Jesus. And call them hangers-on. Maybe these were people who wanted to hear a little bit more. There may have been some religious leaders in that group who are just trying to build a case against Jesus. Whoever's in this crowd, they have followed him to Jericho. Clearly, they were listening to Jesus, trying to hear him. when above the din, the noise of Jesus speaking and the crowd and all of that, is this voice, "Hey, Jesus!" And everybody says, "Shh! We're trying to listen to him. Would you shut up?" And he will not be silenced. And so from his place where he was sitting, "Hey, Jesus!" It's sort of like trying to hear. It's like the persistence of a lawnmower at 6 a.m. in the morning and you're trying to sleep. Or you're trying to listen to something, somebody or something, and somebody's talking in your ear and is pulling your attention away from this thing that you're trying to listen to. That's Bartimaeus. He's that persistent. Zacchaeus was similar. It's not the same sort of thing. He's not up in the tree yelling, but he's persistent in his curiosity about Jesus, and he's so curious that he gets up. The text says he's short, so he can't see over the crowd. You know, this is Bartimaeus. And so he climbs up in this tree in order to see Jesus passing by. I think that's what happens to people when they see. And it could be visual sight, or it could be sight that comes to you through what you know, through what you've heard, that takes up residence in your brain and causes you to say, "I want to know more." That's Bartimaeus. Well, the Gospels make a big deal of blindness. And by the way, I didn't say this in the introduction, but I think that, I mean, Bartimaeus was a real person, but I think this could also serve as kind of a parable about blindness. And at a lower, deeper level is this other story about mental, spiritual blindness, like you see sometimes today. So, back to the Gospels. Jesus pronounces a curse on the city of Chorazin and Bethsaida. And he says to them, my words, "Shame on you. If the deeds of power had been done in Tyre and Sidon, two more cities, that were done in you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago." It's a blindness saying. He's saying, you saw the deeds. You saw the deeds of power. And you didn't believe your eyes. If you had believed your eyes, you would have changed, as Tyre and Sidon would have changed had they been done there, these deeds. I once heard a quote, which I've always found really interesting. No one knows exactly where it came from. It's attributed to Mark Twain a lot. And it's something like this. It's one who is sighted and will not read is no better off than someone who is blind and cannot read. It's talking about the outcome, you know, of what. How many times do you encounter this sort of like, "I don't want to know any more about that. I don't want to have to think about that. I don't want to have to deal with that." It's sort of this this kind of self-insulation from truth. One of the best parables Jesus told on this subject was specifically about blindness. About what we choose, metaphorically speaking, blindness or sight, knowledge or ignorance, arrogance or humility, In the parable of Luke 14, a person who gave a great dinner, maybe a wealthy man or a king or someone who gives this huge, great dinner, the best foods, the best china, the best location, sends out invitations to all his friends. And his friends make excuses. Oh, I can't go. You know, I've got this or I've got that. Don't we do that? Don't we prioritize our time? And don't you want to say to these friends, what are you thinking? You've been invited to this great dinner. Go out and buy a new suit of clothes and go to this dinner. But they didn't. And the parable says that the rich man or whoever this was that invited all these people says, well, fine and dandy, I'll invite people who will come. And I think that's kind of a non-sight thing. The friends were the ones who didn't see it, who didn't see the beauty of it, who didn't see the advantages of it, of going to this dinner. But instead, Jesus invites the blind, the lame, the crippled, the poor. Isn't that always true? Those are the people who show up. Those are the people who know a good deal when they see it. They were the ones who hungered for an improvement of their lives, and which they admitted they had. Friends, when you really boil it down, when you really come to this, when you reduce it to its bare bones, we're really no better than the poor and the lame. The difference is that the poor and the lame admitted they were poor and lame. Like Bartimaeus saying, I'm blind, I can't see. I admit that, and I want a change in my status. So Jesus asked the blind man, this is the title of the sermon today, what do you want me to do for you? Well, that's kind of a well-duh question, isn't it, if there ever was one. What do you want me to do? I can just almost see Jesus saying, well, what's wrong with you? I can tell you're blind. I can tell that's what you want. Maybe Jesus wanted the man to admit what he wanted, to say with conviction and force, I want to see. This is like an invitation to a banquet or the sharing of a book or the acceptance of a miracle. For us to say to Jesus, I want to come to your banquet. I want to be there. I want you to work in my life however you can. I want you to restore my sight. I will tell you, surprisingly enough, that many cannot tell they are blind. They just can't. We decline the invitation to go to the banquet of Christ or the restoration of our sight. And every time we do that, we demonstrate our blindness. We demonstrate that we do not understand the gravity or the beauty of what we're being offered. Let's pray. O God of light and vision, God who opens our eyes to what was invisible to us, may we be like Paul or like Bartimaeus, who both saw the truth and thus were given real sight. We pray that the cataracts of unrighteousness and prejudice will not cover our eyes so that we cannot see. Rub on our eyes the mud of clarity so that we can see. In Jesus' name, amen.